Good morning, everybody. My name's Mark Houston. I'm an alcoholic and a cocaine addict. Everybody having fun this morning? Morning of October the 19th of 1982, the power of God showed up in my life and separated me from alcohol and cocaine. And it is that power which has kept me separated from alcohol and cocaine since that time. And the universe is a better place because of that. I was sitting here last night, somewhere around 1,400 people between this room and the other one, and I had this brief flash of and tried to imagine all of us drinking and doing cocaine and what we would have done to this city. Beyond belief to imagine that, isn't it? Speaking of last night, I want to free some of you from any illusions you may have. I sponsor your speaker that you had last night. And in the event any of you felt perhaps a little irritated, annoyed, or angry at anything he might have said, the illusion you may have is that he had something to do with that. One time a good pal of mine was doing a weekend retreat in which Chris was sitting in, and he got so angry he had an out-of-body experience, and he just went off on my pal Joe. And I mean went off. And he got done, and anyone who knows Joe, he likes to sit in that old Buddha position. He very calmly looks at Chris and he says, "I really wish I had the power to make you angry, but I don't. God just used me as a vehicle to bring up some darkness within you that you needed to look at." So for those of you who felt irritated at Chris last night, please thank him for bringing up some darkness in you. You've asked me to be your spiritual speaker, and that means we're going to talk about God. Now, I want to tell you a little story about that. How many of you are here from Watts? Aren't you here from Watts, Los Angeles area? All right. Well, let me tell you something. You all ruined me forever. About 1986 or 88, I was out there visiting a pal of mine, Joe. One night, he says to me, "Get dressed up. We're going to a meeting." He lived out in Santa Monica. I said, "Okay." So we get in his porch. I'm wearing white pants and white shirt and tan, and my hair wasn't quite as white then, but we begin driving to Los Angeles. I don't know Los Angeles very well, but I'm no dummy just because I'm from Iowa, and I realized we were not driving in a very good part of the city. And it kept getting worse and worse and worse, and I also began to notice that everyone there had a much deeper tan than I did. And we finally get to a place called the Alano Club, and we go in the Alano Club, and there's about 200 people there, and there were Joe and myself and one other white person, and about 197 black people. And then he calmly turns to me and says, "By the way, you are the evening speaker tonight." Now, I'm born and raised on a farm in Iowa. I didn't even see a black person until I was 18 years old. So I get up, and my opening comment was, y'all might be wondering what an Iowa-born Norwegian Caucasian white male might have in common with you. And I said, "I'll tell you what I got in common with you. I'm an alcoholic and a cocaine addict. That's what I got in common with you." And during the course of that talk, the reason I said I got spoiled, there was all kinds of amen, praise God, let it roll going on, right? And man, that stuff is fabulous because they become a part of you as you're giving the talk. And so I got used to that. And the very next talk, I go to this AA convention full of white stiff neck honkies. It was like talking to a dead chair. So what we need to do here, and this is just for your white stiff neck honkies, I want you to practice something. I want you to all say amen. All right. That didn't hurt, did it? Talking about God, we ought to let things rock and roll a little bit. I want to thank the committee for asking me out here to speak. I want to thank all the worker bees that made this stay an incredible thing. This has been a celebration of the power of God. And if you came here this weekend and are struggling with the concept of God, you are completely asleep. That's what this weekend has been. I've heard some people talk about this thing coming to an end, and the thing that I've learned over the years is this. This is a time in which we come together when we really see the power of God in our lives. And when we leave here, we take that back into our respective occupation, homes, and affairs, and carry this message of love and power to the alcoholic and the drug addict who still suffers. That's what it's about. I got to tell you about the kind of mind I had when I came to this program. I'm going to tell you a little story. It's the same mind you got. I got a pal out in Midland, Texas. Name's Dale, and he loves to hunt ducks. One day a dog showed up. Looked at Dale like this was a duck dog. So he went out hunting one day, and he took that dog with him. And he shot a duck, and he just about shit his pants because that dog walked on water and retrieved that duck. He brought that back, and he thought he might have been having a little flashback to his old days when he was doing drugs, so he kept hunting. He shot another duck, and sure as hell, that dog walked across that water. That happened four times, and old Dale, he's awake today, and he saw the miracle in that. Well, Dale happened to live next door to an alcoholic and cocaine addict who also liked to hunt. So a couple days later, Dale took him out hunting. Dale was about contained with it, trying to figure out what's going on with his dog. So him and this drunk and this cocaine addict are sitting out there, and they begin to shoot ducks, and the first one they shoot, and he's watching this drunk, and this dog walks across the water, and he gets a duck, and he brings it back. Dale just can't hardly contain himself, and he's watching this go on. Finally, after about the fifth duck, he turns to this drunk, and he says, "You notice anything strange about that dog?" Drunk says, "Yeah, the poor thing can't swim." Now, that's the kind of mind I brought to this program, for God's sake. There's a dog walking across the water, and I think it can't swim. I had to laugh. We were just reading, "The only one who can tell themselves they're an addict is that person." For God's sakes, if the dog's walking across the water and you think it's swimming, how in the hell can you diagnose yourself? That's why the main problem centers in the mind and not in the body. And that's the kind of mind I brought here. I was talking to my pal Mick, and my experience is like his. I was in AA about 5 years before I even had a clue what the hell powerless meant. Staying sober on grace. When I tell you the power of God separated me from alcohol and cocaine, I mean that. And I wasn't even awake to it. If you ask me to define what spirituality is to me today, here's the best that I will give you. It means to me that I am awake, aware, mindful, and conscious of that which I'm always present to in this moment. That's what it means. And the work in the first 9 steps out of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous are designed to awaken you, to get you out of your sleep, if you will. And there's been a lot of talk this weekend in the workshops and a lot of other things about that. And mostly what I want to talk to you today about is my experiences with the 10th, 11th, and 12th step, which to me is the heart and soul of this program. And I'm going to talk about some things. The only disclaimer I ever like to make is this. If I say anything you can't reconcile with the big book, don't pay any attention to it. Two or three things. If you got nothing out of this talk, one of them I want you to get is this. Don't ever let anybody read your big book for you. Your life depends on it. Who's responsible for your sobriety? We are. Your sponsor? Hell no, your relapse. He says, "Oh, so bitch never do what I told him to anyhow, right?" See, I'm responsible for the life my Creator gave me. And along the way, I've had many mentors and many guides. But I was given a great gift. I'm going to share this with you. And some of it hooks in a little bit to what Chris was saying last night. Sponsorship. The man who carried the message to me, and I was in the fellowship of AA, because I got sober before CA was in existence, he was a world trustee of AA. So he was the lowest in the highest position. Some of you understand that. Another paradox, right? But he was real big on traditions and that kind of thing. And over the years, I'd talk to him, and I would watch this recovery rate go down, and I kept burying people and burying people. And And I talked to him about that. And he made a statement to me one day. He said, Mark, every problem in AA or CA could be solved by good sponsorship. And in hindsight, I believe there's a lot of truth in that. And the man who stands before you, the gift that he was given is the man who carried the message to me is now about 33 years sober. The man who carried the message to him is 36 years sober. The man who carried the message to him is 54 years sober. The man who carried the message to him was the first sober member of AA in Chicago, and the man who carried the message to him was Dr. Bob. So I had four people between me and the co-founder of AA, and you know what that means? The message that was given to me had purity to it. It was crystal clear. It wasn't a lot of babble. Every person in this room, whether you think about it or not, you are somehow hooked into Bill Wilson or Dr. Bob, aren't you? Well, what if you're 50 removed from that? You ever done that exercise where you got 10 people? Somebody whispers in someone's ear. I went to the Yankees game and had a hot dog, and by the time you get to the 10th person, you've killed three wiener dogs or some insane shit. That's what's happened to us in the fellowship. Message given to me was very clear. Mark, this is about the power of God in your life, and it's in the book. It's in the recovery portion. It's in the basic text. When I began to work with this man, and I would call him with my problems, his first statement was, did you pray? If I said no, he'd hang up, so I learned to lie. See, he role modeled things for me all the time. The first was, is every time I came at him, he made me understand this was about God and God's power and God's guidance. That was the first thing. The second thing he would say, and I got so tired of, do you have your big book handy? So, yeah, I have my big book. And see, he was doing some things for me in there. And I don't care what it was I wanted to call him about. He would take me to a page in which there was a solution for the problem I wanted to bitch about. And then finally one day he just got tired of doing that because he was a pretty busy man. He said to me, listen, son. I always like it when someone calls me son. And he said, you know, Mark, there's a line in the big book that all your troubles are your own making. Do you believe that? Well, I said, yeah, but I always hesitated because that means I'm responsible, you see, for everything that I have in my life. And he said, do you believe that? And I said, well, yeah, I do. And then the big book talks about that you and I deliberately manufacture misery. And he said, well, Mark, he said, you're manufacturing the misery that you want to call and talk to me about. And what the big book says is that when you want to manufacture misery and trouble comes your way, you are supposed to cheerfully allow God to demonstrate His omnipotence in your life. So for all of us who have to go into meetings and talk about problems that we're creating, that we can't stop creating on our own power, we just need to say to them, isn't this fantastic? You get to cheerfully allow God to demonstrate His omnipotence in your life. Now, a couple other things on sponsorship. I was at a meeting one time, about 30 people in there, and I was somewhere around 5 or 6 years sober then, and I was real enthralled with the sound of my own voice. Still asleep. 30 people. I talked 15 minutes. After the meeting, he'd say, come over here. I always knew there was something going to happen then, and I probably wasn't going to like it. So I went over there, and he said to me, what's the root of your problem? I said, well, I'm selfish and self-centered. He said, how many people were in that room? I said, well, about 30. He said, you talked 15 minutes. Don't you think that's a little selfish? Oh. He said, Mark, if you talk more than 5 minutes in a meeting, you're talking outside your experience and feeding this horse shit anyhow. Stop it. The group I belong to, a couple of groups I've started, we use a bell. We use a timer. No one talks for more than 5 minutes. Then we ring the bell on you. So he taught me that, you see. And then there were other times that I'd be in meetings and I'd be talking about things I should have been talking to him about. And after the meeting, he would pull me out and say, son, come here. And I go, oh, shit. You know, relationships, for example. He'd say, Mark, that's the stuff you and I talk about. He said, what you need to keep in mind is when you go into these meetings, there may be a new man and there may be a new woman in there. And we are here through a process of attraction to help save people's lives. And that's what your meeting needs to be. You come to me with that stuff, you see. And he role modeled that to me over and over again. He taught me what was appropriate in meetings and what was not appropriate in meetings. And that's back to what Chris was kind of trying to say last night, is every problem we have in CA or AA could be solved by good sponsorship, you see, by accountability. God Almighty, I want this fellowship to be here. So when people like me come in, it's here in the same purity in which it was given to me, at the same recovery rate that was given to me, you see. So somewhere around 3 years, I began the journey through the first 9 steps, and at different times, this has happened to me and probably some of you, at different times I've worshipped all the fingers, from the fellowship to a sponsor to the book to the steps, versus what it is I'm supposed to worship, which is God. And as I begin to work more with the disciplines of 10, 11, and 12, then that finally began to happen for me. All the first 9 steps do is allow me to become present to the fact that I'm a spiritual being having a human experience. So I'm going to talk about the disciplines of the 10th and 11th and 12th step with you all, my experience with some of those. I didn't even wake up to this stuff till I was about 10, 11 years sober. You get up to the 10th step, and it says, this thought, what thought? The thought of finishing your amends brings us to the 10th step. Now you have a short version on the wall. Those of you who have read your big book know that the 10th step has almost 2 full pages. And unbeknownst to me, the 10th step is a whole new language. It's called the language of the Spirit. It's not to be interpreted with your mind. You see? Whenever I'm asked to speak, I ask the Creator to open the ears of your heart to what I have to say and close the ears of your mind. But it says, I've entered the world of the Spirit. Now, I've been around this fellowship a while, a little over 17 years. And the only time that I've ever heard this as a topic is when I brought it up. And that's a tragedy. If you want to mess up your meetings, when you go back and someone says you have a topic, throw this out. Yes, I would like you to share your experience with what it's like to have entered the world of the Spirit. They'll go, what book are you talking about, for God's sake, right? And they follow that with, I'm here to grow an understanding of effectiveness. What does that mean? The 4th dimension the big book talks about. You see, I'm a spiritual being having a human experience. I do the work in the first 9 steps. I'm no longer blocked from the fact that I have an awakened spirit. I'll give you a little way in which you can touch this. So you think I don't think I haven't lost my mind. From the time you got up this morning to right this moment, you've all had a lot of different thoughts running through your mind, right? Have you noticed there's a part of you that's watching yourself think? And from the time you got up to this moment, a lot of you had a lot of different emotions going on, right? Have you noticed there's a part of you watching yourself feel? Well, what do you think that is? That's your spirit. That's the control center, I like to call it, right? That's what it means to have entered the world of the Spirit. I'm pulled away from ego. I'm not identified with me. I have an awakened spirit. And now I get to go through life growing and understanding the effectiveness of what it's like to come at life that way. And the practices of the 10th step. You could spend the rest of your life on the 2 pages and the practices of the 10th step. I'll give you one. We watch. Watch is a spiritual practice. The first time I begin to work with the word watch, I work with it for 6 months. And I would watch myself. The 10th step is about the line of the will. My will is aligned with God, and along that line I do anything that I want. Fabulous stuff. Fabulous stuff. The line of the will, from the time I get up till the time I go to bed, and I watch myself. You see, it's like being on a track. And if you're awake and you're pulled back, and you're watching yourself, you'll feel yourself move to fear. Uh-oh. I'm watching. I watch. You see? You could spend 6 months working with the word watch. By the time you get to the 10th step, hopefully you are starting to be awakened. Hell, I'm 53 years old and I've probably only been awake a year or two of my life. Sleepwalking, thinking I'm awake. I want you to think about this. The only time you can have conscious contact is when you're present to this moment. Most of us spend our life with a mind that brings up images of the past or images of the future, none of which is reality. and we're never present, which is why we're never satisfied. Now, I want you to think about this, too. Consider this. The most present I was ever in my life was when I was drinking whiskey and snorting cocaine. And if you come into this fellowship and don't get present, you're going to go back to that which made you present. We drink and drug for the effect produced. What do you think that was? Go back and look at your experience. It got you present, didn't it? I mean, there's all this horseshit about 49 other reasons why. But it made me present. Man, I was there, all of me. You get sober, you've got to have that same experience. And the 10th and 11th step are so that you can be present. Restored to sanity, restoration to sanity. Can I be present to this moment? You see, when you're present to the moment, it doesn't matter who you're with, where you're at, or what you're doing. You see? Those are things the ego's concerned with, not the spirit. Some other spiritual practices in the 10th step, in addition to watching for what? Selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear, is ask. The word ask. Incredible spiritual practice. Ask what? Ask God to remove that at once. Get the force away from you. See, the eagles gather where the mind goes. For people like you and me, I call it the vultures gather where the mind goes, right? Scared the shit out of me one day. I read the average human being has 50,000 thoughts a day. Can you imagine that? Because ours are always concerned about ourselves, right? No wonder we're asleep. We're like ingrown hairs, for God's sake. So I ask at once for God to remove that. Make me present. And then I turn. Turn is a spiritual practice. Get the force away from you. Turn to someone you can help. Doesn't mean when you're at work you stop work and call your sponsor. That isn't what your employer's paying you to do. Turn to someone else. Incredible 10-step promises. Love and tolerance of others is my code. You cannot practice that with your self-will intact. I mean, I'll give you an example. Love and tolerance of others becomes a code. Any of you who got upset with Chris last night, you did not have the capacity to practice love and tolerance. Look up the word tolerance. See what it means. See? Can you be in a position of neutrality? Wow. Another 10-step promise. Take this one to the bank. I have ceased fighting anything or anyone dash even alcohol and cocaine. God Almighty, can you imagine what it'd be like to go through a 24-hour period resisting nothing? Zoom, zoom, zoom. Yeah. You all hear these young kids, they got a phrase called whatever, right? It used to piss me off till I realized that's one of the most spiritual phrases I've ever heard of. Shit, they're way ahead of us. You know, you got something planned, they call and cancel. Whatever. Zoom, zoom, zoom. You know. Speaker don't show up. Whatever. You know. She leaves. Whatever. You know. Get the job. Don't. Whatever. She's fighting. Whoa. Zoom, zoom. I got an altar at home, and I got a big sign. Whatever above my altar. My standard phrase. Of course, the guy that's still just in the process of doing the work, he contends that when I use that, what I'm really saying is, fuck you. That isn't what I'm saying. Book goes on to talk about something. Talks about this. I've been restored to sanity. Sanity to me is truth and reality, being present, truth. And it says it's a miracle. It's a gift that was given to me. You know, Mickey and Chris and I were talking, I don't know about the rest of you, you start to get some time in this program, and you begin to look back, and you see the power and the grace of God in your life. It's the only reason we're standing up here. God Almighty, people like us, you've got to be kidding. Helpless, hopeless, chronic alcoholics and drug addicts. And we forget about that, you see? But it says it's a miracle, it's a gift, it was given to me, and I did nothing for that. Do you still think you have a God that you have to do something to deserve? You better get another one. See, I'm like a wave that's a part of the ocean. I can't be the ocean, but I'm a part of it. And I don't have to do anything to deserve that love, that power in my life. It's not about that. It talks about the problem's been removed. What problem? The problem was never alcohol and drugs. The problem was selfishness. That was my problem. And in the work of 4-9, I face and be rid of that which has me blocked from the power. So the problem that was removed was my selfishness. You see? That's what was removed from me. It's not alcohol and drugs. What takes me back to alcohol and drugs, what makes me diseased, is my selfishness, my self-will, my playing God in people's lives, my arrogance that I think I know what's good and not what's bad. It says that I'm in that position of neutrality. God, what a powerful promise that is. Then one of the few times the big book talks about it, and it's a warning. It's easy to let up on the spiritual program of action. See, I'll tell you a trap that you can fall into. Here's the trap. God keeps me sober, right? If that was the truth, this big book would only have one page and four words. God keeps you sober. It has a lot more than that. That's why the big book says that you and I are given a daily reprieve based on what? Fit spiritual condition. Guess who's responsible for that? We are. Not God. We are. And the book is very clear what that looks like. Relapse is not any big secret. See, you can't believe some of the big book and not all the big book. On the day anyone I've ever worked with relapsed, they were not in fit spiritual condition. And normally what I can always find out is I ask them what they were doing with the strict disciplines of 10 and 11. Here's what I mean by strict disciplines. If you've got the same big book I got, this book is very clear to me about upon awakening, I'm to consider my plans for the day, that I'm supposed to do some prayer and meditation. And then it spends all this time in the 10-step giving me tools to work with all day long, both 10 and 11. Pause and agitate or doubtful. Watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. Ask God to remove it. Turn. Conscious contact, new sixth sense. Cease fighting anything or anybody. I practice those tools all day long. And then my book is very specific, and it says at night that you're to do an evening review, constructively reviewing your day, and then you're supposed to do some more meditation. Those are the disciplines. So here's the deal. The big book says to me, and it is my experience, that at certain times I have no effective mental defense against the first drink or drug. And the terrible dilemma for a guy like me is I don't know what that time looks like. But I think I do. She leaves. I get the job. I don't get the job. I'm not going to bet on that, you see. See, I'm an athlete. I know what it means to stay in fit physical condition. So 7 days a week, 24/7, I do the things necessary to maintain fit spiritual condition, because that's my responsibility, not my father's. It's your responsibility too. You can have as much of this as you want. Go to the ocean with a thimble, you get a thimble full of water. How much of God do you want to know? How much of God do you want to know? You get to decide that. Nobody can decide that for you. There came a time in my sobriety around 10 or 11 years that everything that God had created no longer satisfied me. And I was left standing at the place where all that was left is I had to know God better. And I really began to work with these disciplines. My first 10 years in this program, I did not work with meditation. Do not do that. I've had a daily meditation practice since 1992. If you said to me, Mark, what is the single most important thing you've ever done in the spiritual path, I would tell you meditation. I sit 2 times a day. My current practice is I sit 2 times a day for 24 minutes. I've been doing that since 1992. Another book says, be still and know I am God. It does not say be still and believe I am God. The movement from experience of God to knowledge of God is like going from one side of the planet to the other. For a lot of us, we think because we believe in God, it means we know God. It's another trap, my ego. You know, I believe in God. I've sponsored 2 ministers. They talk about a noose around your neck. Thomas Merton, who's one of my mentors, said, those who think they know from the beginning will in fact never come to know anything. Every single day I wake up and I say, God, I know nothing about you. Reveal yourself to me again. See, what I think I know becomes a barrier to experiencing God anew each and every day. I die each night, I'm born again each day. I'm not attached to any belief systems. My deal is to be present to this moment. Conscious contact. The 10th step says that I have a sixth sense. Here's another topic to bring to your meetings. Please share your experience with your new sixth sense. I'm not lying to you. It's in this book. It's in the 10th step. The 10th step is new language. Language of the Spirit, you see. I do have a sixth sense. I have conscious contact. I'm never not experiencing conscious contact with the unknown God. Sixth sense. Powerful stuff. Along this line, I can do anything I want. The line of the will. I'll tell you something else about the 10th and 11th step. This is my experience. It is very difficult to find people in any fellowship that have a lot of experience with the 10th and 11th step. Now, there's a lot of opinion. Now, I want to tell you where I come from with opinion and experience. The spiritual life is not a theory. I have to live it, correct? Now, long ago, I'm sitting there talking to a priest, and he wants to tell me what's going to happen to me after my spirit leaves this body. So I said to him, do you have any experience with that? And we're not the only one that does this, but he says, what do you mean? I said, do you have any experience with that? Well, no. I said, oh, so you're giving me your opinion. Well, yeah. And I said, Father, I said, I love you and respect you, but I ain't buying it, okay? See, I have two friends, one in the fellowship, who had near-death experiences. And they have some great things to say about that. I've written enough inventory. One of my primary character defects was, I love to give you my opinion on experiences I've never had. People who've never done anything with meditation, I tell them, you meditate for a year and call me. And I'll talk to you about meditation. You work with the word watch for 6 months and call me and I'll talk to you about what it's like to do that. See? Spiritual life's not a theory. I have to live it. Meditation is no big secret. There's all kinds of books out there. Don't worship meditation. Worship that which takes you to meditation. To me, meditation became the heart and soul of this whole program. I get to sit at one and talk to that which created me and loves me and sustains me and cares for me. I get to know my Father. Talking to a friend of mine who recently went up to Sedona on the way. We stopped somewhere and had an experience with weeping. Big difference between weeping and crying. That happens to me consistently. And the only way I know to put it in words, it's as though my spirit connects with that which created my spirit in a deep way, and all I'm left with is weeping. Not long ago, driving to Midland, Texas, and the love of God almost exploded in my heart, start weeping like a baby, pulling off the side, just bawling my eyes out. Love in my heart, filling every fiber of my being. God, I wouldn't want anyone in this room not to know that. Not to know that. You know, there's another book out. It's called I'm Okay, You're Okay. I'm going to write one. It's called I'm an Ass and You're an Ass. It's liberating to understand that's who we are. See, it gives you great freedom. Like Chris gets done talking. Someone comes up and said, well, by God, you know, you did this and this. Chris says, well, what do you expect? I'm an ass. You see, that power loves you in spite of yourself. Power loves you in spite of yourself. Power can manifest through you in spite of yourself. Manifest His love, His power, His direction. You see? But those are the disciplines of 10 and 11. They keep you in conscious contact and they give you power. Talk a little bit about the 12th step and then do a wrap on this thing. The 12th step, the chapter working with others, is a chapter about responsibility. It's very, very clear, but it is about responsibility. Who's responsible for your sobriety, right? We are. I am. So when someone comes up and asks me, Mark, would you be my sponsor? I don't know what it is. Something about that word. I don't know. But I go, I don't know. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about that a minute. And I do what the big book says, and I try and find out as much as I can about them. And I ask them some questions. You want to get over drinking and drug use for good and for all? Because that's a question in working with others. Yeah, I don't know, Mark. Here's my card. If you ever want to, call me. So let's say he says, well, yeah, I do. Well, are you willing to do something about it? Well, I'm not. Here's my card. Call me. See, there's a spiritual law involved here I never knew about. It's called the spiritual law of caring. If through a course of action you show me you don't care, I can't care. And I won't. But then there's the other side. If you do care, I have to care. See? Oh, God, I didn't want to work with him. And the ones I get are never the ones I want. Psychopaths, sociopaths, you know, they're just nuttier than fruitcakes. But they care, so I got to care. See? And then what I do is I take the 12 steps and I take about 20 minutes and I outline the 12 steps and I get real clear with them and I don't soft sell it. Don't soft sell this. Hell, if spiritual living was easy, there'd be 50,000 people listening to me this morning. And I talk about these 12 steps and what it's going to be like to go through this course of action. I talk about writing inventory. I particularly like to get them in amends. I'll ask them some questions. Do you owe some money? Yeah. Well, you got to pay that back. Jesus, Mark, I just want to get sober, for God's sake. Yeah, I know. But if you don't do that, you can't stay sober. Oh, my God. You know, I talked to him about the 10th step and 11th. You're going to have to work with meditation. Mark, I just want to not do cocaine. I know that. That's what we have. But I don't. You see, I don't soft sell it. And I take about 20 minutes. Now I say, you go home and you sit and you think about this. You pray about this for a day. And if you want to do that, then you and I are going to do this together. Over the years, 10 people ask me to work with them. I do what I just said. 2 call me back. Never the ones I want. So we start. I like to work with a set-aside prayer. God, lay aside what I think I know for an open mind and new experience. We start in the title page of the big book. And we go through the book together. Whenever it gives us instruction, we follow the instruction. Now, what am I doing there? Those of you who sponsor, please understand this. You will transmit what you have, and you cannot transmit what you don't have. Anyone that I work with, I am not going to be an accessory to murder. I'm going to work with them out of the book. You know, I hear people say, my program scares the shit out of me. There's only the program. My program has me drunk and loaded. So I sit down. I go through that chapter working with others. And I put that monkey on their back and I get agreement with them. This is important. I call it the step before the step. Are you willing to go to any extreme to have a spiritual experience? Are you willing to go to any length? And by then, I've explained to them what that looks like. And I like to have them write that down anymore. And here's why. They get to the fourth step and they start bitching about writing inventory. I'll say, pull out your notebook. You remember on this day, you agreed to go to any length? Well, then shut up and write. And we start that journey through the big book. I don't take a lot of time anymore for the reason Chris talked about. We need power and we need it fast. I hear the word relief a lot. This program isn't about relief. This program is about the power of God in your life. That's about a hell of a lot more than relief. This program's about freedom. Freedom. You see? And then we go through that process together. The inventory's 5th steps. I attract a lot of chronic relapsers. God Almighty, it's like Mickey says, that their 4 favorite words are I know and yes, but. I just wish, I wish I could invent something to give them a spiritual lobotomy, you know. They know so much stuff, you know. So we got to start again and we go through. You know, bless their hearts. See, they think something doesn't work. You see, they haven't tapped, they haven't experienced that power. So we go through the big book, word by word, page by page. We write the inventories, we do the 5th step. 6, 7, 8, and I do what the big book says. I walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. Anyone that I work with, my goal is to get them independent of me as quickly as possible. As quickly as possible. In touch with the power of God. Lifelong friends. I don't know how many people I've worked with over the years. Many, 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 many. A lot of them are doing great. Some of them are not. I'm not attached to the fruit of my labor. You see, I understand what this is about. This is about God. This is about that incredible power that shows up in our life. This power that loves us. You see? That's why we're here. There's no other reason that we're here. We're here to be intelligent agents, spearheads of His ever-advancing creation. And by God, we need to start taking ownership of that and responsibility for that. See, I'm not powerless today. God, I have power in my life more than I know what to do with most of the time. So do you. And I was given that power for one reason. I have recovered and been given the power to help others. That's it. And when I do that, my life gets added unto me. Seek ye first the kingdom, the rest gets added. See, it's a paradox. AA will really mess you up. You go to your sponsor, you know, well, I want to, you know, work and talk about job or relationship. Your sponsor says, no, come over here. That don't compute to people like us. See? We're self-will run riot. We can't run at things that way. We come over here. I forgot many, many times what I told the Creator in the third step, which is I offered myself to Thee to build with me and do with me as Thou wilt. God Almighty. People recently asked me, I live in Dallas and I got moved up there at the end of December, and people say, why did you move to Dallas? I said, I don't have conscious choices about that. I get moved places, you know. See, my life isn't my own business anymore. In 1994, I started getting asked to do this. I didn't want to do this. You know, by the way, the only people who ever wants to speak at something like this is someone who's never spoke at something like this. Who in God's name would want to get up in front of the most judgmental group of people on the planet? God Almighty, you know, it's like, and I'd say, dear God, no, you know, and you can tell already where I come from. My deal's simple. If it ain't in the book, it ain't. Well, I ain't popular in AA, you know. Not popular in some other places. Call my sponsor whiny, and he says, get down off the cross. We need the wood. See, you get no respect. You just get no respect, you know. God, I love the fellowship, and I have a responsibility to the fellowship. And I am not concerned about being popular. I'm concerned about talking about the power of God in my life. Big book says that I'll be given power, peace, happiness, and a sense of direction. And over again, by the way, the word God, I think, is mentioned 207 times in the recovery portion, 405 times altogether. This program is about the power of God in your life. Don't ever think it's not. Couple other closing things, and then I'm gonna shut this down. Being awake to the moment, to the present moment, is the most fascinating thing that I've ever got to experience in my life. Through God, I've learned how to love and to be loved. Through God, that part of me that would have me separated from you. It uses every known means of doing it, from gender to race to that part of me is dying. Through God, through this program, I understand the oneness of all things. Through God and through this program, I understand love and tolerance. I was posed with a question one time about 5 years ago that'll turn your hair white if you work with it too long. And the question is, how do you know what you don't know? Well, there's no way. You better have some people in your life who can point that shit out to you, right? When we leave here, this is still a young fellowship. And you leave here and you go back to your respective occupations and your respective affairs. Take back the idea that you can be an intelligent agent, spirit of God's ever-advancing creation. Cocaine addicts dying all over this country, for God's sakes. And you're, whether you like it or not, you're the forerunners. You're the forerunners. Stand in the power and the light of God and do that. Go back out and carry this message. to the alcoholic and the addict who still suffers and talk about the power of God in your life. Turn your damn meetings into a powerful thing, not a whining session. Got a new person coming in. That new person needs to see the light shine in your eye. Take that back. Begin to work on service. Begin to start more groups, for God's sakes. You're the forerunners. Nick and I were talking about that. You know, a lot of the elders in AA dying off. You see, and you begin to pass the torch. You begin to pass that on. But a lot of you're the forerunners. You need power to do that. If you haven't reworked the first 9 steps in a while, I would beg of you to go back and do that. To face and be rid of the things that have you blocked from God. See, I don't know if you ever thought about this, but when you were drinking and using cocaine, is the God that was in your life any different than the God that's in your life now? No. So what happened? Tell you what happens. All you do is you do the work in the first 9 steps, and now you wake up to that which is always present to you if you're awake. I love someone who seeks God has already found God. You don't have to go anywhere. There was a story one time. God went to one of his saints and he said, trying to figure out where to hide myself. I don't know, should I do that in the ocean or should I do it in a far hill? And the saint thought about it for a while and he was talking about it in relationship to us. God and the saint looked at God and he said, no, actually it's very simple. Just hide yourself in the human heart. They'll never find you. This work allows you to experience God within, the great reality deep down within. And that you be given power, that you take that power out to be of service to God and your fellow human beings. God Almighty, don't miss out on this. Don't miss out on this. You see, Mark died. The man that came to this program died a long time ago. He died a long time ago. I'm here to be of service to God and to my fellow human beings. And I will do that until my spirit leaves this body, for however long that is. And I will continue to do what this book asked me to do, to maintain my fit spiritual condition, because I'm useless to you if I'm drunk or loaded again. And I'm willing to take the responsibility of that. That third step, you all, how many of you have here done a third step? Raise your hands. Then here's what you did. Here's an arrangement you made with God. Is that He would be the director in your life and you would be the actor. That He would be the principal and you would be the agent. Look up the word agent. Every one of you, you've been empowered by God. Accept the responsibility of that. Take that out into the world. He is your Father. You are His child. Bring it on. I tell people that all the time. I don't know what kind of God you've got. Nothing touches me but what my Father wants to touch. So bring it on. Bring it on. God Almighty. I'm clear in that decision I made in the third step. And I'm no longer concerned about my little plans and designs. I'm very concerned about His big plans and designs. And you say that incredible prayer in which we all offer ourselves to our Father. To do with us as He wishes. To relieve us of the bondage of self. So we can better do His will. Take away our difficulties so that victory over them bears witness to those we would help. Of Thy power, Thy love, and Thy way of life. That's all, any of your speakers, any workshops, that's all we're ever doing. Is we're bearing witness to you of God's power, God's love, and God's way of life in our life today. And you get to do the same. God bless you all. I love you.